such a night. Anything could happen anywhere. As I was standing out there hearing that wonderful chorus, "All hail the power of Jesus' name," while standing out there, it seemed to me as if the rapture would come right along while I was in the sitting on that little cot. It looked like something was lifting me up. All hail the power of Jesus' name. He threw it when he wrote that song, and the many poets. One time, walking and see a dad there, waving back and forth, keeping his child cool, laying there, crippled up, a spastic. Ooh. And I thought, God, what can I do? What can I do? What can be done? What a time gathering. What a time that God could just move in and do anything among us. I want to ask now the report on how many was reported a definitely condition from last night. But Brother, would you have the report of what happened last night? As be left at the book stand, if someone will give me that report right away. Would you get it for me, Brother Bosworth? At the book stand, report someone or one of the ushers, if they would, get a report from the book stand and find out just how many reported tonight from last night's meeting. What happened in last night's meeting? I've been very interested in it today. How good our Lord is to us. We got two more nights, Christian friends, of the meeting. This morning, we really had a time of fellowship at that ministerial breakfast. Such a lovely bunch of ministers all sitting around with one heart, one accord. Usually, I mention something in the breakfast about different denominations. That's one of my great things to mention. But if actually was wondering, I guess, why I didn't mention it. It just seemed like it was such a heavenly atmosphere. There wasn't any difference in it. It's just, see, I believe this, that in the great realm of the church, the only thing that's holding off the coming of our Lord Jesus for his church and setting up of his kingdom is the differences between the full gospel people. That's right. As long as one say, "I belong to this, I belong to that, I received this, I did that," and don't recognize the brother as your brother, I think that's one of the hindrances we have now. One of the hindrances of not receiving our Jesus Christ coming. I believe that we're past Jesus coming is past due. That's a big word, but I believe I can prove it by the scripture. It's past due. God, as he said, as it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. God was long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all might come to repentance. Thank you, brother. Somewhere of a dozen or more testimonies from last night. Well, that isn't too good. Just a dozen of 78 that passed over the platform. 78 different ones that passed over the platform, and just a dozen reported. All right. It's easy. It doesn't matter to me. Then we will try tonight in massive healing and see what our Lord will do. Now, do you get what I mean? I'm here to try to help everyone. Someone says, "Pray for me. If you just pray for me, I'll get well." See? Well, that's true. That's what God does. He heals the sick. Prayer faith shall save the sick. But I was expecting, and I've asked for at least three times that many of reports today that have had a change within 24 hours to the better of the 70-some-odd, a little girl, minister's daughter, that sat over here last night. She was telling me she stayed in the same motel, lived down in, and she lives in Kentucky just across the river from my home, Brother Beeler's niece, and she said she counted each one that crossed the platform, and I believe she said 78 that crossed the platform. Last night was just a night of trial, so we could just try and see what the Holy Spirit would do, just to see what would take place, to see how many would be healed just by praying, laying on the hands. Then I kind of made a little mistake in doing so, and visions was moving just, thank you, my brother. Now, here's another report that no definitely number, but several have been reported. That's wonderful. How many in here was healed last night that knows you was? Raise your hands like that in the prayer line. Was healed last night? Just raise up your hands like that so I can see you around. Well, it looks like quite a number. That you really feel the difference that was healed. That's wonderful. Well, thank you, everyone. God bless you. You keep that testimony. I tell you, friends, what I've been moving, trying to do, is change the policy of, I'm afraid that people will misunderstand me and think I'm just altogether a mystic, and it starts too much I wish to say this. My heart is to Jesus Christ. He's the one that I love with all my heart. And my first duty is to Him. Isn't that right? My first duty is to Him. And when I see something that might hinder along on the call somewhere or bring a reproach somewhere, that makes me feel, first now, my duty is to Him. See, I want to do something that'll help His cause. When I find out that we just can't help it and these realms that we go is fellow arrested here not long ago down in the Southeast. He got up on the platform and he said, well, that young brother ran just mental telepathy, said I could do the same thing. And he was a minister too. He got up on the platform and tried some of his mental telepathy and he's jail now. Told a man, said, you live untrue to your wife. He said, you're a liar. He said, I stand here to say that I do not, and I'm a gentleman and a Christian, and right here in the neighborhood, and everybody knows me. He said, tell me when. That's right. See? So there, for that. And they ought to have done it. They ought to have thrown him in jail. That's exactly right. Brother, if God's not behind it, you better be careful, and you'll bring a reproach as sure as the world. See? You be sure that you know from where you speak and what you're speaking of, and let the Holy Spirit do the talking. You just keep still. That's the best thing to do. Don't you think that's right? And I thought, well, and in the beginning, when I first started out to take people by the hand, as he told me, and there it was. See? And then he just keeps on going around. Sometimes it brings a reproach. And everybody looks at that. They won't look at the good things the Lord has done. They look at what Satan has done. Throw it all in one class. That's just exactly the way it does. They throw it all. Say, there you are, the whole thing. Corruption is nothing to it. And there you go. See, that's the way the enemy does. Now, we as Christians have got to be on the guard every moment, watching everything. And I think this, brother, and I know this by the Scripture, that any person, no matter who it is, what every person that believes in divine healing has a perfect right, and God will honor your prayers if you'll pray for the sick. Pray for the sick. That's right. See? It isn't a prayer. My prayer would help. Your prayer would help me. See? This morning in the ministerial breakfast when I was staged along in the line last night, one little brother got up there, I believe it was Brother Cox, and he said that he felt that I didn't have the 1 hour sleep last night. I just simply couldn't get myself together. I'd stayed too long. And the manager, he told me, the next time he'd pack me out, no matter what I say. And he kept telling me, well, you're too long, kept pulling in. I kept waiting because I wanted to pray for about 300-400 people last night. To see if I could get them through and then get at least a half of those that would give testimony of their healing. That's what I wanted to do. Well, that's what my thought of it, to get to pray for everybody. Now, if you'll notice, dear Christian friends, surely, that this is a much better way if you'll just believe me with all your heart. I can only help you as you believe what I say. And if I get off of the Bible, then you got a right to disbelieve me. But as long as I'm preaching or teaching to you God's Word, then you should believe. Is that right? See? Now here, when our Heavenly Father, here at the platform, will do something in the audience, and He'll confirm or make known His ways or heal somebody of something, and then you see that that's the truth, and your people comes and everything, and you notice last night why we have to give our cards, didn't you? There's no order at all. You just can't do it. And then the people, if you put them back from the line, then it causes hard feelings. Every minister that has a divine healing service has to get our prayer cards. We have to have order. See, if you don't, Paul said, set the church in order. Is that right? Order is of the church. And so we're very thankful. I want to pass a compliment on a man that's in the building. He's not he's conspicuous in one way, but in another way, he's been a man that's been a good friend of mine for years. I see him sitting in the meeting tonight. I've seen him here for several nights. And the brother has meant much in my life. And you might look at him or talk to him and think he was very queer and odd. But down in my heart, I have a deep respect. And the man has been to practically every meeting I've held around and that he could get to, hitchhiked or some way to get there. And he never asked for one favor, one cent, one everything. And here not long ago, I was at a great city, and this man hitchhiked there, and there was some great mayor of the city wanted to come in and see me. They just kept him out. And then this poor old fellow come along with a coat of one kind, trousers, his shoes off his feet. I took him in my room with me to sleep with me. The man looked at me and said, "I don't understand." I said, "That's my brother. I don't care what they call the big shops want to know. I want to see." No matter what it is, the man, and when I was just a lad, just a little boy, first time when I used to look at Pentecostal people speaking with tongues, and I said, "Can't understand it. Just can't do it." And that man come on and would speak with tongues. I know he's a good man. I watched him. He's not ashamed. And every time when I get in, my boy come today, he gave me a little track. He said, "Down the street corner stood this brother, testifying, glorifying God, four things that God wants you to know." And he passed by and he didn't recognize my son. And he said, "Praise the Lord, brothers. Have you ever been down to a Branham meeting?" He said, "The Lord's doing great things." All of a sudden he saw me and my son, he looked around. Billy said, "Don't you know me, brother?" He said, "Praise the Lord. Yes, I know who you are. There you are." Every place, everywhere. And when just a lad, just at the end of the ministry, was just a young boy in the way, this elderly gentleman sat in my room one day before my first wife had passed away. Sitting there, we didn't have nothing in the house, just an old folding bed. We give that to him. We moved off the other room, the little old iron bedstead that the children slept in. He stayed in our home, and one day while sitting there, I couldn't understand him. I didn't know too much about the spiritual things. I wondered about this other and kept it in my heart before it was confirmed. One day sitting there, he rose to his feet and gave a message like the man did a while ago in unknown tongues. I looked at him. He stood back and gave the interpretation and said, "God speaks and said that you're just a boy now. You got a lot of youth about you. But someday, God will use you." And that come to pass. That's right. Just as a lad. Brother Ryan, I'm speaking of you. Would you just stand up? God bless you. I was one of the first men that I heard speaking in an unknown tongue. He's a converted Catholic. Used to be an acrobat. And I watched him, and I seen him, I listened to him, and I watched his life. He was very humble. He lived down on the river for a while, and he'd go out much in prayer and things. And he was one of the first to begin to move me in to listening to what this was. And after a while, he has become, no matter I stood on the streets, one day I was up here in Erie, Pennsylvania, and they was having some kind of a show there that had beard on their face. And the old brother thought, "Now here's my opportunity," because he wears a long beard and a long hair, or hair to his shoulders. When I first saw him, I thought he belonged to the house of David, but he didn't. Now he's a Pentecostal brother. So I went out, and I was, wife and I were walking down the street, and we seen him standing over on the side, that white beard of glory, singing it. "Tis the old time religion, tis the old time religion," like that passing out track. And when he seen me, he tried to move back. He said, "See my wife along." I went over and put my arms around him out there. I said, "God bless you, Brother Ryan." He said, "Brother Branham, I thought I embarrassed you." He said, "I thought I'd get back." I said, "Embarrass me, brother. You're my brother." "You know, embarrassing nothing. He's my brother." And we've learned to love Brother Ryan. And everywhere we go, he hitchhikes, brings his wife and everything. And all night long in the streets, he's testifying, and I hear people writing to me, businessmen and everything else where he's been, say, "Say, a fellow named John Ryan, long beard, coming here, told about great things happening. Now, I want to be standing near when I see him crowned immortal some of these days when God brings his reward." All right, let's read a little bit out of his word, the word of the Lord now, not giving homage to man, but just one of those little fellows that sits back unseen. The other day while the meeting was waiting and people before they opened the doors, I guess, I happened to pass by in the truck, looked out there on the right, and there was Brother Ryan with his Bible teaching. Not sparing a moment, let everything. Let's all get like that. What are you saying? Let's get out and tell it everywhere. Get somebody. Now for prayer, may I say this, that I wish to read just a little portion of Scripture, and we'll start the prayer line. It's so hot. But now, if God willing, tomorrow night, let's come early Saturday night, and Sunday afternoon, if the Lord, how many here hear my life story? Let's see, I guess about all of you. No? You that have heard it would like to hear it again. Let's see your hands if you. All right, Sunday afternoon, the life story. Now, I want to ask you something. Go out and get all the sinners that you know how, that you can coax in, and bring them in Sunday afternoon. Sunday night, a great closing service. We expect a great climax here. That's tonight. We want to not leave one person if we can, but what we want to get to. Now, tonight, I want just to read a scripture, just a moment, and then we'll call our prayer line. Found in Job 42. I don't know why today, while trying to study, I would keep falling back to this place in the Bible. And beginning at the 8th verse, I'll read just a portion of the 8th verse. I wouldn't want to preach after that wonderful, inspired sermon that Brother Baxter just delivered tonight. It's wonderful. "Therefore take unto you 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up yourselves a burnt offering." I've got, well, you see that word, got respiration, or it's just about faded out. Let me read that over again, see if I can get it. "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks, 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourself a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept." That's praying one for the other. The value of prayer. Now, these counselors that had come down and sat before Job, he was, that's the oldest book in the Bible, probably was, Job lived along the time of Nimrod, and back in there somewhere down from Seth to Abraham. As it was written, the book of Job, before Genesis was. But he was a priest and a prince, and he loved the Lord. And God blessed him, made him a great man. And then Satan came up. Now, here's what I want you to watch. Satan came up with the sons of God, sitting right among them, and began to speak to Job, God began to speaking about the earth. He said, "Have you considered my servant Job a perfect man, none like him in the earth?" Satan said, "Oh, yes, and you've got him edged up, you're blessing, giving everything you can give him." He said, "Sure, he'll serve you like that." So let me have him, and I'll make him curse you to your face. I said, "He's at your hand. I'll break the head, but don't you take his life." And Satan done everything but take his life. He took his children. He broke him out with balls. He spoiled all of his goods. He made him a pauper, and he sat on an ash heap back there in the backyard, I suppose, with a piece of crockery or something, scraping the boils that was on his body. His wife walked to the door and said, "Oh, Job, you look so miserable. Why don't you curse God and just die?" He said, "Woman, thou speakest like a foolish woman." He said, "The Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Now watch, that man that had went through trial, that man who had been purged, God was not dealing with a sinner now. He was dealing with a saint, see? A man had been purged, but God proving to Satan that there was mortals who would serve him in the face of conflict. And he said, "Thou speakest like a foolish woman." Now, he never said she's foolish. He said she spoke like a foolish woman. "The Lord gave, the Lord taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Here come these fine counselors or church members. Job cursed the day he was born. He said, may the stars not shine at night or the sun of the day. But he wouldn't curse God. And there Satan got him right down to the very threadbare moment. Then some of his friends came, and instead of consoling him, they accused him of being a secret sinner. Like they might accuse this woman here in the wheelchair, the young man there on the bed, the little spastic child, the father, saying there may be being a secret sinner, something you've done. That's not always the case. Jesus said one time, the disciples said, who sinned? The blind man, he, his father, his mother said, in this case, neither of them sinned, but that the glory at works of God might be made manifest. Job had not sinned. He knew he hadn't sinned. And he had not sinned, so he would not confess it because he absolutely hadn't sinned. But God was really trying and putting him to the test. And I believe that every Christian that's born again has to go to those tests. Every son that cometh to God must be first chastened, purged. Is that right? And if you cannot stand chastisement of the Lord, then you become a bastard or an illegitimate child. You claim God to be your father and you know nothing of him. See? A real, true, born-again child of God stands firm. We are so with the incorruptible seed of God, it cannot perish. See what I mean? Now, if you've got a way that you say ups and downs and ups and downs, I would advise you to go to God and stay there until you're really born again. When trials and troubles and heartaches and disappointments set in, something holds. Not you holding, something holding you. See, it isn't a question whether I hold on or not. It's a question whether he held on or not. It isn't looking at me, it's looking at him. He was the one. If a man came in all over and said, Brother Bam, I'm not worthy to be saved. I said, no, you're not. He started weeping. He said, I've tried since 1940 to get saved. He said, but I find myself not worthy. I said, you never will be worthy. He said, then I can never be saved. I said, oh, no. It isn't you, it's him. See? God don't look at you, he looks at him. And if you can find any fault in him, then you can't be saved. But if there's no fault in him, then you're all right. The blemish that you find in him is on you. But if there's no blemish in you in him, then there's no blemish on you. He said, I see it, Brother Branham. I see it. He wanted to shout. I said, get straightened out first, then that'll take place next, you see. So there, Job, after he knew that he had not sinned against God, but if a man is sincere, a person is sincere, mother bringing her babe here, a blind man sitting here holding his cane, sitting right in front of me, a lady sitting here with braces on her limbs and crutches, different ones laying around, look like a woman laying over here, probably dying, I don't know, in a dying condition, another one laying here. Just look at that. Maybe some may be sitting out in that audience there with heart trouble that'll go before any of them. Heart trouble's number one enemy. But God has to keep his promise in order to be God. If he doesn't keep his promise, then he isn't God. Now the main thing is to find out whether it's the will of God. It's easy to go. If God said tomorrow, come down here in this audience and stood here and we really knew that it was the Son of God, knew he was, and said, go not any of you all, tomorrow it's going to rain all day long. Well, be easy for me to go home, just go to bed and say, I ain't going out tomorrow because it's going to rain all day. See? Because if he said so, it's going to rain. Don't you believe that? What you know God's will is. Then you can look in God's Word here and find God's will for you. Don't you believe that? And then the only thing this other does is straighten the individual. See? This is for the entire church, for everybody. And then if you can appropriate the faith, clean yourself up, or accept Jesus Christ in believing, it's bound to bring God's Word to pass because it's a seed. Now, Job knew he had not sinned. Wherefore, after all them trials and all that trouble, Job just kept holding on. There was something about it that he knew that God loved him, and he loved God. Now notice, after a while from the east came a little prince by the name of Elihu, meaning or representing Jesus Christ. Now when he comes to him, he said, don't despise my youth, because I'm younger than you are, Job. You're an old sage, probably way over 150 or 100 years old or something. And I'm maybe just a young fellow. But don't despise my youth. First he began to straighten Job out by what he had done wrong and things of accusing God. Then when he began to speak to him, not as a sinner, here's what gets me, not as a sinner, and Job began to say, now, there's hope of a tree if it dies, or if a flower dies, why, little petals drop off, and the little seed goes down the earth, and the rains come and bury it like a funeral procession, crying from the sky, and that little seed lays there, and it bursts open, and pulp runs out of it, and everything's gone, man. But is that the end of the flower? No, sir. You went in your Indiana, plant your flowers. You don't have to worry about that. A little seed drops out of there, and next spring, there's that flower again. There's nothing in the world that science can find in there with that little germ of life. The pulp's gone, the seed's gone, the roots are dried up and everything, but that flower lives again. God made a way for it to live again. Well, if he made a way for a flower to live again, what about a child of God that's made in his image? Job says, a man die, yea, he giveth up the ghost, he wastes away, his sons come to mourn or do honor, and he perceiveth it not, and so forth. I can't understand. I see a flower, a seed buried, it comes to life. I see the flower die, raised again. But man layeth down, he giveth up the ghost, and where is he? See, he don't rise again. Then, Ella, you trying to straighten him out. Now, I give this just and childlike form here. Now, he said, Job, you're watching those flowers. They're in God's way. They haven't sinned. There's nothing about them that's sin. But man sinned. And that's the reason you don't see him no more when he goes down. He goes down to Sheol or Hades, and you don't see him no more. But yet, Job, there's coming one, a just one, who will stand in the breach and put his hands on a sinful man and a holy God and bridge the way and stand in his place and make intercession for him. Then the man shall rise again, and then Job, being a prophet, found the Spirit, the thunders begin to roar, the lightning flash. Job stood on his feet and said, I know my Redeemer liveth. And at the last days he'll stand upon the earth, though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. He knew there was coming forth a day of resurrection in the last days, plural. See, last 2,000 years, my Redeemer shall stand upon the earth. No wonder David cried out, my flesh shall rest in hope, because he'll not suffer my Holy One to see corruption, neither will he leave his soul in hell. All back there, all pointing to Calvary. Then in Jesus lays a complete of salvation. He's got a complete of divine healing. If there is no divine healing now, there is no resurrection of the dead. I'd like to be way over that. That's right. We have the first fruits of our inheritance. Is that right? The earnest of our salvation. Is that right? The little touch that we had when I walked up there to that screen a while ago, and they were screaming and praising God, and the Holy Spirit falling and tears rolling down cheeks when he was saying, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. When I stood this morning and heard that little duet this morning sing that beautiful hymn, I suppose they sang it again tonight. And the Christians there, them old veterans that was beaten and worn, the tears rolling down their cheeks. What was it? It was the earnest of their salvation. The Holy Spirit there, the earnest is a down payment. Just what? Something to hold it. Then that is a proof. Yes, sir. When that comes upon us, it takes the desire of sin out of us. We have no more desire to sin, to worship the once purged. Then someday when that becomes perfect, what will it be when we stand in here, the angelic choir, saying, oh, hail the power of Jesus' name. What will it be on the other side? See what I mean? Now, then if divine healing is the earnest of our redeemed bodies, here is a woman dying with cancer. Our physicians, our earthly doctors, walk up to her and say, there's nothing to be done. I can bring you record after record. Or they're on the dead list, supposed to have been dead 3 or 4 years ago, and tonight they can't find a trace of cancer or nothing. What happened? The doctor says, I just don't know. I don't know what happened. The earnest of our redeemed body. And if God can reach down and take a cancer-ridden, like Miss Florence Nightingale in my book, have you seen it? The great-granddaughter of the Florence Nightingale, the founder of the Red Cross. If God can reach down to that poor, wretched mortal laying there that couldn't even raise her hand to shake hands, that couldn't stand up in here and touch her to 155 pounds in perfect health, that's the earnest of our resurrected body. Some of these days my body may not be but a spoonful of ashes, but God shall stand, Jesus Christ, and all those that are dead in Christ shall rise and come forth with him, made in his likeness. Don't you believe that? What is it? Prayer. Now these men who had scorned and kind of made fun of Job, God said to them, you go take an offering and go down to Job, my righteous servant. I won't hear you because you got too much folly. You haven't stood for truth. You haven't did what's right. Therefore, you take a burnt offering and go down and offer a sacrifice and ask my servant Job to pray for you, for I will hear him. There you are. Prayer changes things, doesn't it? Go ask my servant Job. Let him pray for you. One that's been through the test. One that I found favor in. One that I blessed. Now, if you've got a good godly pastor and you're sick and the doctor can do nothing for you, go get that godly pastor to come to the house and say, now, dear God, here's my elder. Here's my pastor. I know he's a good godly man. I'm going to kneel with him here at the side of my baby. I ask you, dear Lord, to have mercy. Something's got to take place. That's all. See? My servant Job will pray for you. Yet they were religious men. They were believers. But Job had to pray for them. Prayer, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man, availeth much. You believing? Here I get started talking and talk too long. Let's bow our heads. Dear Lord, the hour is growing close now, and I just don't know what about these evidences that's coming from the meeting last evening. What would you have me do tonight, Lord? I stand here not knowing now which way to go, not knowing whether or which way to turn, but thou wilt lead, O God. I just commit it to you, and these people are sincere. They're sitting out here in this hot building now, standing, knowing that just two more nights, according to the schedule, then we must separate for a while, many of us. Some of us, until we meet thee, then we've got to come up there, stand in your presence. God be merciful. You know what struck my heart tonight as I looked in the door there, that curtain, and seen them poor people laying there. Sick, standing hot, and think they're here for one purpose, to try to find help from you. Oh God, I pray just now, just at this very moment, Lord. I've tried to find favor with you, Lord, in every way that I know how. I love you. I love you, Lord. If I know my heart, I love you with all my heart. You're before my wife, before my children, before anything. You are first in my life. Thou knowest that. Not only me here tonight, but there's hundreds of others sitting here in the same way. God, how happy we would be if you just now, I know you've already done the healing, if you could just give them a little extra push tonight, as it were, just push them into the pool while it's trouble, Lord. You grant it. And maybe that same angel that's whirled down from the skies and troubled that water, maybe that's the same one that comes night after night. I do not know if thou knowest, but the Bible said it was an angel. I believe it. And I pray, Father, that while the waters will be stirred, denied, troubled, choppy, people raising up here, looking at that, screaming out, may everyone, the angel of God, just spread his great wings, as it were, around this building right, to push everyone right into the pool. And may there come a perfect healing tonight. Healing of soul and body through this building. May there not be a feeble one, Lord, left. I know according to your word, Lord, is all I have to go by. And with my all that I know how to read, I believe that you have already paid for every person in here to be well. I believe that our Lord Jesus, thy Son, did that at Calvary. And he said all things are possible if you just believe. When you pray, believe, you receive what you ask for, and you shall have it. And then besides all of that, sending the witness of the Holy Spirit, you sent back to us gifts and signs and wonders. That would still cause us to know. When the world, and you know that educators that get a hold of the Bible in their cold ecclesiastical ways would cut it around, explain this out and that out. like Balaam, like Cain of old, offering his sacrifice and making an altar and worshiping you, but not in the provided way, without blood. He was refused, rejected, and that same spirit lives on down to his children. But Abel, the just one, not so pretty, the altar is not so decorated, but come in the provided way, God's provided way, leading a lamb, a substitute, an innocent one, to take a guilty one's place. Father, we believe that you led Jesus to Calvary. He was born in a barn. Wow, the Prince of Glory born in a barn. He was a lamb. Lambs are not born in beds. They're born in stables. And they led him to Calvary. They led him up there, just like Abel with a grapevine around the lamb's neck, led it up to the rock. There, as a sin offering for soul and body, he was made. You bruised him and mashed him and beat him. And there he gave the Spirit into the hands of the Father, and a temple veil rent from top to bottom. Earthquake happened. They buried him on the third day, that morning star, after all the birds hushed singing. As Mary and Martha walking up the hill, wondering who would roll away the stone. Then all of a sudden, here come an angel of the light streaking down from the heavens. And the stone was rolled away. He came forth, and many of those who slept in the dust of the earth, the saints rose and came out of the graves and entered into the city, meeting some of the old friends before going up. Oh, what a time. The first fruit. The earnest. Now, God, help us tonight to believe. Help us to lay aside every shadowy weight and just move right in now with perfect, virgin, unadulterated faith, Lord. And be healed, everyone, for we ask it in His name. Amen. I believe that you are a Christian, or your sins under the blood. And if it wasn't in His presence now, it would be different. I'd say, now there's something wrong somewhere. But no doubt, but what you're a sincere believer. And now, I'm your brother. I know nothing about you. Never seen you in my life. I couldn't know one thing about you. It's all just has to be come down from God. Now, the reason I believe that He will is because gifts and callings are without repentance. See, God gives the gift. He won't take that away. But if I use it wrong, then He'll deal with me for it, see. Now, that's the reason I'm trying to just say all that I can. And you hear me bragging on Jesus, always about Jesus. Jesus, always. Never myself. It's Jesus, you see. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. I have nothing to do with it. I'm just His mouthpiece. Just as if the President of the United States would make me an ambassador to Germany, see. My words then in Germany would be just exactly what the President told me to say. And if I said them what he told me to say, then everything is in the United States is behind them words. Is that right? Is that right, audience? He'll have to back up if I'm an ambassador. Then, if I be a minister sent from God as this, and what I pronounce here, and if it be coming from God, everything that's in heaven is to back that word up. Is that right? Because it's given right, straight, fresh off of the throne to say what it is and to do about it. Is that right? Now, if that was at my leisure, you know what I'd do now? If that was at my leisure to do with just in my hand to do whatever I could, I'd walk right down, I'd see, okay, how many people here's got heart trouble? I'd bring all them up first and heal every one of them. Then I'd say, bring all the TB up and all the cancers up. They're going to die first. Then I'd look around, see these people crippled. I'd say, they want to get up and walk around, though they may live a normal life. They may live for years and years being crippled. But them heart troubles is going to die right away if something isn't done, see. Cancer and so forth, they're eat up and gone. So get them. Then the next I'd go down and get all these crippled people. I'd heal every one of them. Wouldn't that be wonderful? But it's not for me to do. See, I can't do it. Now, the only thing I can do is to make you believe and or try my best to get you to believe in the Lord Jesus. I've talked a long time to you because I'm waiting to... I've seen you, someone sitting right behind you there. It's breaking in. If you would turn like this just a little bit better, it would be better. See, human beings, each one is possessed with a spirit. See? And then your spirit and my spirit, then if I have an anointing of a different spirit, anointing here of the Holy Spirit, which is a gift of God coming from God to do something for you, and in you would have to be an evil one, like a cancer or tumor or some growth, something got life in it besides your life. Well, then them two go to doing, you see. One will say, you'll have to come. They'll say, don't you believe it? They'll say, you'll have to come. They'll say, don't believe it. See, and I'm talking to you, just see what takes place. Then when it happens, there it is, you see. It depends on your faith and what I'm speaking of Jesus Christ. See, see the story? Now, wouldn't you like to go home and eat again and have a good, sound meal? That stomach's bothered you so long, hasn't it?
Glory.
Isn't that right? Now, you go ahead and do what
Glory.
You want to. God bless you.
Amen.
Now, let's say praise be to God. Everybody do. Now, I say this with all my heart. While speaking to the little lady, oh, I forget the vision, what it was. Poor little woman's had a pound. And there was more wrong with the woman than what she thought there was. But she did have a stomach trouble. But she's a nurse. She's an upset person. And she's one of those people that always has got in her mind something way back there she's thinking about all the time. Isn't that about your nature, lady? And you've been suffering other things, too. See? Now, I just didn't want to say it, but with all my heart and soul, woman, I believe you'll never suffer no more. You're going to get well. See? I believe it. Now, you come, lady. You stand right around this way, if you will, so I can talk to you just a moment. Now, do you believe these things that I have said? And you believe it to be truly sent from God, do you? With all your heart, you believe that. Well, I'm happy that you do. For I can only say, now the only thing that I could do would just be see what was wrong with you, see. Just like, or if it was in the line of sin, I might be able to know that. And if you've confessed it, well, probably I'd just turn the blood down, you see. That's done. He, when you confess a sin, he puts in the sea of forgiveness to remember against you no more. It's just, did you, you know what this bleach is that you use for your washing? Chlorox, or what it is? Well, you take this one drop of ink and drop it into that tub of bleach. What would happen to that drop of ink? You couldn't find it, could you? It would just be bleach. Is that right? Well, that's the way sin does when it hits the blood of Jesus Christ. It's just no more. You don't know what happens to it. You couldn't get it out of there if you had to anymore. She's just done. That's right. Color? That's color of black ink, but it ain't black no more. It's gone. The black has become white, and the black is gone somewhere, and you don't know where it went. Is that right? That's the way sin is. Now, if you will accept Jesus as your healer, that heart trouble that you've been suffering with will be just as the ink was when you hit the water. See, you did?
Mm-hmm.
All right. You had a smothering heart, blockage of the heart. Is that right? And now it's been causing you trouble for some time. But now you go on your road, and sister, in the name of our Master, Jesus Christ, who has sent his angel to vindicate these things, that I, his servant, speak the truth. May he bless you. In Christ Jesus' name, amen. I go believing, sister, and be over the rest of the day. All right, sister. Now, you believe with all your heart,
yes,
sir? I believe you do, sir. And now, you have the same thing she has, all right? But do you believe he's healed you now?
He can, yes.
All right, sir. Then in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, may you go off this platform and get sound and well. God bless you. Let's say praise be to God. Those heart troubles, a pressure moving, heart trouble, everywhere. Here, just a moment. What made you jump in? You have heart trouble too, you did have. Isn't that right? The little lady, isn't that true? Stand up on your feet. Yes, she has a white hat on. You're going suffering heart trouble, isn't that right? All right, you're healed. So is she. And the lady sitting next to you there with cancer, she can get healed too if she'll just raise up and believe it. Do you believe it? You believe the cancer leaves you? You do raise up your hand. All right. You can go home also. God bless you. Go on your road rejoicing. Down here he is. Oh, what could happen? What will happen? That lays within you. Not within me. Within you.
How do you do, sir? God bless you.
Reverend?
How are you getting along? All right. Yes, sir. You want to be well?
Yes, sir.
Well, in the name of Jesus Christ, receive your healing. God bless you. Go eat now what you wish to. All right. Let's say praise the Lord. Do you believe it all your heart? God bless you, Mother. That's the way I'm going right off the platform. Say thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Lord Jesus, as these poor old mothers come, their lives battered down, their suitcases packed ready to cross the river, God bless them and make their days happy. In Jesus' name, heal this woman. Amen. God bless you, Mother. Go on your road rejoicing, happy, believing with all your heart. All right. Sister, do you believe?
Yes, sir.
With all your heart?
Yes, sir.
Would you like to walk real close to him? Love him with all your heart? Do you believe you'd make your eyes get well then?
No.
You will. All right, sir. You shall have it. In the name of Jesus Christ, God grant to this woman the desire of her heart. For it's for your glory I ask it. Amen. God bless you. Go believing now. Let's say praise be to God. Thanks be to God. Praise God. You could be healed of that rupture if you would just believe it with all your heart, sir. Do you believe it? Then stand up and say, I accept my healing now. All right, that's good. Thank you, brother. That's the way to do it. What's the matter? Your wife there moving around. Look over this way, sister. Do you believe with your heart, too? Glad you got arthritis? You'd like to be made well? If you would, stand up on your feet and say, I accept my healing now in the name of Jesus Christ. That's the way to do it. You are also. Go off the platform saying, thank you, Jesus. And may well. Let's say praise be to God. All right, let's bow our heads just a moment. Father in heaven, heal this woman and make her completely. Satan, leave her out. Say in Jesus Christ's name, come from the woman. You believe? Believe he makes you well now? Hear me all right? Can you hear me now? All right, and you are he. You can go off her platform and be made well. Let's say praise be to God. Oh my! How I just see them people out there, it just seems like it becomes a mask to me. And how I think of Satan just, oh, if I could just break that spirit above you right now. That's all. Satan waving his black wings around there, trying his best to get you to keep from you bleeding. If there's some way that could move away, then there would be nothing between you and the glory land of God which would fall upon you and heal every person here. Believe with all your heart. All right. Little boy. Well, God bless your little heart. How do you do, sonny boy? Glad to meet you. Now, this is just a lad. Now, he doesn't understand what these things are. So, let's talk to him just a minute. Now, laddie boy, do you believe that when Jesus was here on earth, you go to Sunday school? You do. You like to go to Sunday school? You like to read about Jesus? Now, when Jesus was here on earth, and he had picked up little fellows like you, and he put his hands on them and blessed them, and he said, suffer little children to come to me. Forbid them not, for such is the kingdom. Now, if he was here tonight and was down here in Hammond somewhere, and why, you'd go to him, and he'd lay his hands upon you, and you'd get well. Now, because he would be Jesus. Now, he's gone up to his Father's house, up in glory. And he sits up there at the right hand of his Father tonight on his Father's throne to make intercession for us. Maybe you don't, and otherwise, when we pray or ask him anything, he stands before the Father and shows the blood. Father, I died for that purpose. See? And then it happens. Now, if he was here, here's one thing.
that he went up there, but he sent back the Holy Spirit. See? And the Holy Spirit is here tonight, and he sent me, his servant, to help you. You believe that? You do. I know you do. Now look, I don't know you, little fella, do I? I never seen you. But now, if I was sitting here as God's prophet and would speak to you and tell you something about your life that you know about, then you'd believe, wouldn't you? Now look, some time ago, in a room where you was, you choke up. You can't hardly breathe. You've got asthma. Isn't that right? Isn't that right? At nighttime, a lot of times you have trouble with breathing. Isn't that right? And the light in the room, sometimes when you get choked up, they come talk to you and work with you. That's asthma. That's what bothers you. Is that true? All right. Now you come here, honey. Dear God, who's this dear little Ethiopian boy standing here. I hug him up to my bosom. I love these little boys, Lord, and I pray that in the name of your son, Jesus, as this tender little boy that'll have to go through life with that asthma, oh, God, a poor boy would have to work for his living, and oh, what a disadvantage it would be. Now, God, I pray tonight that you'll heal him with this condition, take it away from him, and anoint him and make him a preacher, Lord, to stand in the pulpit to preach the gospel. I pray this prayer of faith through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, little lad. What's going to happen now? Going to get well? All right, God bless you. Let's say praise the Lord. God bless you, sister. Do you believe too? Our Heavenly Father, I ask you to be merciful to the woman, knowing that only you can heal her. So I pray that you'll grant it and make her well in the name of Jesus, thy Son. Amen. Now, do you believe like that little boy believes?
Yes,
all right, go rejoicing and happy. Write your testimony out, letting me know what happened to you. All right, baby. Do you believe with all your heart? I should ask the Lord Jesus, he would make you well. All right, come. Dear Jesus, here is a woman standing here. She's in need. Thou knowest it, knows all things. And as your servant, I ask. Tonight, as your Holy Spirit is in the building, anointing and giving these wonderful things, the great signs just before the judgment, as you promised would come, and holding her hand, I ask, Lord, that you heal her, and may she return tonight happy, joyful, praising God, and be made well through Jesus Christ's name. Amen. God bless you, sister. Now go bleeding with all your heart, saying, thank you, Lord. All right, let the lady come now. You like that word? Isn't it wonderful? He is wonderful. There's something wrong with this woman, and it's calling for mercy, you see. And there's somebody, and I don't know what it is, but just a moment. Everyone be reverent. I want to talk to you just a moment. You stand back in this way, if you will.
Yes, cancer, sir. Yes, cancer, so do you. Is that right? Yes. Sure, cancer. Yes, son. Let me get cancer over that God. Is it to you?